I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me every day, weekdays, 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you'll find the stories behind the stories, truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. You know, I might need to change that. I don't do a whole lot of headlines. Headline news is done to death. I try to pick out some other little stories here to do, as we will get into today. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers out there and for maybe the intellectually curious. Well, I got to tell you, if that's my market, people who are independent-minded and intellectually curious, it might be a pretty small group. Hopefully, maybe I'm creating those kinds of people. Lots to talk about today. Lots going on in the news. Just got through with January. Very, very, very hectic January. You know, the only thing, it just makes me nervous. You know what we're missing so far in 2020? A mass shooting. How long? It's been a good couple of months. I got to tell you, something will pop along at some point. But other than that, boy, news is rapid. We've got Iowa caucuses tonight. We're going to talk about that a little bit. The Democrats seem to be imploding. Wonderful, wonderful Michael Moore clip. Really fun stuff. We are going to see a bloodbath in the Democratic Party this year. I'm going to say the way it's looking right now, this may be what you would call in maybe college football a rebuilding year for the Democrats. A winless season. Maybe they need to cultivate some young people. There's a real possibility the Democratic Party is actually going to fracture in half. So we're going to take a look at that today because it's very, very interesting. Their biggest hurdle right now is not even Donald Trump, to be honest with you, as far as I can tell. It's about trying to even keep their party together, which most of us would say it's okay if it falls apart. Coronavirus is still climbing. I'm still searching to get any clarity on whether or not this is a serious event. It's obviously highly contagious. Is it deadly? I don't think the numbers are in for that. And is it race specific? Is this something that is overly affecting Chinese nationals, Asians in general? I don't know. Does it affect Koreans or just Chinese? I don't know how DNA specific this is. I don't know. We have a lot of Western deaths, if any, to report. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, because we saw with, you know, the hysterias over Ebola and swine flu and H1N1 and Zika and all of these things, they try to get you all. But there are economic problems with the coronavirus, to be sure. They're playing out right now, and that's what we're going to talk about. I actually did some interesting research and a little bit of math to kind of take a look at the economics that we're experiencing right now, and that's before the coronavirus. Super Bowl last night, I don't have a whole lot of comments on that. I guess there's going to be some controversy. Did Beyonce and Jay-Z not stand up during the national anthem? Horrors! I couldn't care less. I don't really care what they do. Doesn't really mean much to me, but it will be a source of great controversy. Apparently, I saw headlines, a lot of butts in the halftime show and some gyration that people don't really like. I can't get worked up. I can't care. I just can't care. What I saw most about the Super Bowl that I thought was odd was, I guess I was doing some other stuff, waiting for it, and I turned on Fox. The thing was massively overproduced. It is like they are just trying to find ways to use graphics and you know, just build every single moment of leading up to it. I mean, the ball coming in had to be a big deal. The coin being delivered had to be a big deal. Just everything is just over the top. Everything, every bit of it has to have some level of significance. And the graphics and the bios. I mean, I guess they're filling time and it probably gets high ratings, but holy cow. It's a football game. It's just a football game. I just watched this endless parade of pageantry around every single bit of it, and I'm not going to spend any time on it today, but I could also say, boy, it is a propagandistic show, as is most of the NFL. You know, the NFL is paid. Now, people will like this and may disagree with me on this, but the NFL is paid by the U.S. federal government and armed services to do a lot of the patriotic stuff. They had a great deal on there yesterday honoring service of service members. And that's absolutely fine. I have no problems with that. There certainly are some worthy people, but this is part of the experiment to convince the United States and people of the United States, and I'm going to talk about this in just a second, convince people of the United States that militarism is our greatness. Now, this is not to denigrate any troops or to say I'm thrilled to death we've got a strong, proficient military. I question how it is used. But the NBA, NFL, these national sporting leagues take a tremendous amount of money. You're actually seeing taxpayer-produced propaganda done on these things. And again, this is very hard. You have to really kind of think through these things. You can react gutturally to anything that I say and say, oh, he's anti-American, he's anti-military. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you this is a lot of pageantry put on during just a sporting event. We don't see this kind of thing before a spelling bee. Why would a sporting event be any different? Anyway, I noticed it because I'm kind of tuned into those things. And that's going to bring me to my next segment. I guess I'll take a quick break here, and then I'll get into this. I ran across some quotes yesterday. And this is, I don't know, a thinky little segment that I'm going to do. But it's something that I've noticed a lot. I'll read you the first line of this quote. And one day, too late, your principles, if you were ever sensible of them, all rush in upon you. The burden of self-deception has grown too heavy. This is just a little thing. It's by Milton Meyer in a piece that he wrote called They Thought They Were Free. And it just talks about the American or your personal value system. And I love quotes. I spend 2 hours today, 2 hours every day, hour and a half of actual talking generally, trying to get points across. And I love people who can be succinct and say within a couple of lines what they're thinking. I am always amazed at the values that people will sell out at the hands of political leadership across all spectrums, both sides of the aisles. And I wanted to kind of get into that today. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. I've got some interesting GDP stuff to get into, and I won't look at the Democratic Party imploding. But this just struck me, and it's a point that I make. And one of the reasons as an observer to watch how people are led by the nose, by the political parties or by their favorite politicians, to abandon all of their principles and all their core beliefs. And I just wonder if that is something that we can't get out of. Is tribalism too strong? Are we too simple of mind, too easily coerced? Or is there something that we can wake up to? And here on The Mike Madison Show, I'll try to wake you up to it. I'll do that in just a second. Stay with me. This is The Mike Madison Show, 103.9.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I don't know if you are like me. I do spend some time in my head. I am an idealist. I really am. And I'm I'm very fascinated with human nature. And I look at this country and the good people that I know, and some of the, you know, when it comes to charitable giving and you know, some small island somewhere is devastated by something. Americans just dig deep and they give to these strangers. I mean, I just believe there is a core of good in most of us. There's a 2-5% section of the population that may just be irredeemable. But the vast majority of people are just good people. And I find the hatred in our society right now, the polarization, the division, the name-calling, the social media hysteria, where people are attacking each other, I find it odd, again, as an observer. And that's how I view all this stuff. So bear with me here. I ran a couple, across a couple of quotes. Here was an interesting one most people will probably be on board with. The men whom the people ought to choose to represent them are too busy to take the jobs, but the politician is waiting for it. He's the pestilence of modern times. What we should try to do is make politics as local as possible. Keep the politicians near enough to kick them. The villagers who met under the village tree could also hang their politicians to the tree. It is terrible to contemplate how few politicians are hanged. That's G.K. Chesterton. Kierkegaard had a quote that you've probably heard before. There are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is true. A very succinct way of saying exactly what's going on in society right now. And then this was the quote that kind of led me down a little path. I'm just going to spend this one segment on because I find this interesting. Here's a quote. It's Milton Meyer. He wrote this in They Thought They Were Free. And one day, too late, your principles, if you were ever sensible to them, all rush in upon you. The burden of self-deception has grown too heavy. Now you live in a world of hate and fear, and the people who hate and fear do not even know it themselves. When everyone is transformed, no one is transformed. Now you live in a system which rules without responsibility even to God. The system itself could not have intended this in the beginning, but in order to sustain itself, it was compelled to go all the way. And this just brings me to something that I've been looking at for a while, which is, to me, again, as an observer, as an observer now of people, particularly in this hyper-politicized world, and the behavior that I am seeing people exhibit towards one another, strangers, family members, friends, I'm fascinated. Now, I was in the system. I was, at one time, a hyper-partisan Republican in the 1990s. And anybody who voted for a Democrat was an idiot. I can't imagine. I probably did call them names, but I was in my 20s. And when I kind of woke up and realized that the system was screwing us all, it's when I kind of said, wait a second. I was just falling for a different set of lies than the Democrats who were falling for a wholly different set of lies. But when it comes down to our values, I made a few notes here. So what are your values? And what values do the American people have that political parties in this current system convince us to just completely abandon? Because it seems to me that both Democrats and Republicans are willing to sacrifice some good, noble beliefs that you might have. And you would, if someone sat you down and asked you about your core beliefs and your values, you would tell them these things. But elected officials somehow get you to take those and quarantine them and put them in a box as they act, and you support some of their actions that it would be against people's core values. I'm speaking to a conservative audience, and this is where I see this, but the Democrats certainly, I'm going to get to them, don't worry. If your child or your family member was to become addicted to drugs, child, let's just say your child, your favorite child, everyone's got a favorite, right? Or maybe they just made an error in judgment, were at a party, and they were using drugs, and they got caught. What would you want for them? Would you want them to go to jail? Well, yeah, that'll teach them a lesson. Well, what if going to jail ended up giving them a record and destroying their future possibilities for jobs? Is that what you would want for your favorite child, your best friend, your brother, your sister? No, of course not. But if it was somebody else's child, we're all for locking them up. They broke the law. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Now, this is for a personal issue. Somebody doing drugs, gets addicted, whatever. Not harming another person. they steal from somebody, that's an act of aggression. They get held accountable for that. If they kill somebody, you know, it's the same rules as alcohol. But it's interesting to me that so many people are so ready to incarcerate a bunch of people for breaking an arbitrary law, which is drug use. You wouldn't want it for your brother or your sister, your mom, your dad, your son, or your daughter, but we're happy if it's not related to us. We don't want treatment for those people. Put them in a cage. Let them rot. In our own lives, as Americans and around the world, we live trying to avoid conflict with other people, unless you're a psychopath. And we know some of those, too. That's the 2 to 5% that I'm talking about. But most of us, we live our lives trying to avoid conflict with other people, and we reserve violence, any kind of aggression towards anybody, for what? Self-defense only, correct? Now, again, besides the psychopath, who is out there just starting fights with people? Of course not. You don't start. I don't see a lot of. I've worked in offices. I've been to grocery stores. I've been to movie theaters. You don't see a lot of fist fights with people. But yet people think it's very different when it comes to the government. They think that bombing another country based on what they might do in the future is okay. Violence against other people and innocent people. You know, we quarantine this belief that every life is sacred, particularly in a pro-life conservative state like Mississippi. Most Trump supporters are pro-life. We take that and we quarantine that idea of pro-life and that every life is precious because a bunch of men in suits tell us it's collateral damage and that we must fight this country because at some point they may do something. And we take that pro-life idea, we take this idea of compassion, we take the ideas of avoiding conflicts, and we put that away. That's our personal belief. But now suddenly some men in some suits, a handful of psychopaths in Washington, D.C., convince us, no, we should go over there and unleash hell on entire countries, country after country after country. So the Ten Commandments maybe should be changed. Originally, I was going to do this segment just exclusively on the Ten Commandments. So thou shalt not kill should be changed. Thou shalt not kill unless you're the government. If you're the government, you can kill as many people as you want. And as a Christian, you are now allowed to take to social media and encourage your government to nuke other countries. See, again, this is, I know people. Most people have a good heart and they believe, oh, you don't want anything wrong to befall innocent people, children. 4-year-old, 5-year-old children, no matter where they are in the world, if you see a video of a child and you see the innocence and the joy of them playing, you have a kind of a connection to them on a human level. We want the best for these innocent children. But when some men in suits come and tell you that we need to bomb this place back into the Stone Age, you're on board. Then there's thou shalt not steal. Unless you're the government. And in that case, you can take whatever you want. Again, we don't, right? I mean, unless you are a psychopath, a sociopath, we know it's wrong to steal from other people, right? We have this core belief within inside us. We shouldn't take other people's stuff. We should earn our own stuff. Now, I'm going to get to the Democrats in just a second, but this problem is bigger than all that. Somehow, when the government takes a chunk of your income, you believe that's okay. Whether or not they need it, it's not that they don't need it. I've done all the math before. If you ever want to take a look at how much is collected in individual income taxes, but you're able to take this thing of this idea of just taking somebody's stuff and you put it over to the side because a bunch of men and women in suits came to you and told you, here's what we're taking from you, and we have the government behind us. Now, I understand some people are just scared to not give. I understand the IRS is a brutal, brutal organization. And for some reason, we tolerate it. We pay our protection money, so they leave us alone. The police, though, across the country also have been, and I've done shows on this, been doing civil asset forfeiture. This is meaning they can just take stuff from somebody, even if they aren't even charged with a crime. Now, again, your core belief is we don't take things. We don't steal from one another. We go out and earn it if we want to do it. Stealing is wrong. Thou shalt not steal. Unless some guys in suits told some guys with badges that it was okay to do, And now we don't want to question the men in the suits or the men with the badges, and we've had this problem with the civil asset forfeiture. We've finally caught on to that, and it's being kind of rolled back across the country. People have finally seen it for the scam that it is. Now, even rational Democrats, I know I talk a lot on the show about Democrats that I really like, good-hearted liberals that I really do like. I disagree with them on a lot of different things on how we can fix the world and the nation's problems, but I respect them, and they've got a good heart. They know it's not acceptable to break into a home in a wealthy neighborhood and just steal somebody's belongings. If you're a Democrat, you know this, right? I assume you do if you're listening to the radio, because it means you're not currently incarcerated. But your politicians on the Democratic side, the Democratic politicians openly tell Democrats their goal is to pass a law that allows them to just go in and take thousands or tens of thousands or millions of dollars right out of the accounts and the savings of wealthy people. Now, if somebody breaks into a home in a wealthy neighborhood, both Republicans and Democrats look down on that and they say that's a bad thing. They broke in, they shattered a window, went in and stole a bunch of jewelry. We put them in jail for that. But when the Democrats tell you they're going to pass a law to do essentially the same thing, they're going to reach into accounts and take an equal amount of money. It's not going to be jewelry. They don't have to bash a window and go in and take jewels. They just send you a bill for what could be the value of those jewels. And everybody in the United States, just we all sit down and shut up and say, well, that theft of breaking into someone's house and taking that amount of value out through the broken window is a crime. Passing a law to take that amount of value from somebody, that's perfectly okay. We've got thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house, you know, belongings. Democrats have flipped this on its head completely and said you should covet. As a matter of fact, you should hate them for having it, and then you should try to figure out a way to let the government steal it for you. That's what the Democratic Party is. They are a band of thugs and pirates legalizing theft on the most successful people in our society. And then there's thou shalt not have any other god before me. I don't know if you have seen the way politics is framed in this country, but politicians have set themselves above church, above gods. They become deities. And you fall in love with political parties and politicians, and this is, I mean, I've just spent a little bit of time, and I could do a whole show on this. I just don't dare do it. But these politicians get you to sell out all these beliefs. Some of them, the Ten Commandments, they get you to turn your back on thou shalt not kill. Get you to turn your back on thou shalt not steal. And then we worship them. We absolutely set these people up on a pedestal. We send them our money. We cheer for them. We take selfies with them at the Rotary groups. And if people want to know, I know there's a lot of talk about, well, you know, America, when we kick God out of schools, that's what was really the problem. Well, maybe so. Maybe that certainly didn't help anything. But if people want to start becoming moral again, they need to start questioning where we have been led. You know, they say that you should not bear false witness. That was another one that I had made a little note of. Good grief. Most of us consider ourselves honest people. We think you should tell the truth and you should be looking for the truth, yet politicians lie to us constantly. And we just adjust our views to accept the lies that they tell us because they're our guy. On the right and the left, I see this. And most of us, unless you're a sociopath, again, this is the 2-5% of people out there who are sociopaths and psychopaths. It's a mental thing. I don't know how to feel about them because I believe they actually have a mental problem. Can we hold somebody accountable for being born a certain way or abused into a certain way of life? But anyway, they become aberrant in their later life, this 2-5% of people. But we, most of us, believe that you should be a decent human being to other people when you meet them. I even smile at people in the grocery stores and stuff. I'll say hello, how are you, if somebody makes eye contact with me. That still happens down here in the South more than other places, but not as much as I think it should. But you don't walk into an elevator and start criticizing everybody around you. But politics has turned us all into keyboard warriors, calling people immature, silly little names, libtard, trumptard, and threatening people online just to serve your political masters. And this is what I see. It's like all of these values that everybody holds on an individual level, that if you were just sat down in a room and somebody said, do you think it's right to steal? Do you think it's right to kill? Do you think it's right to lie? We would all say no to these things from a very, very early age, outside, again, of the 2 to 5 psychopaths and sociopaths. Well, they'd lie about it anyway and say it was wrong, but they wouldn't believe it. But for the vast majority of us, we believe these things. Unless a guy or a gal who has their eye set on power comes and tells you it's okay to kill. It's on the other side of the planet, and they're a different color than us, and they hate you. So it's okay to kill them first. And we go, okay. It's not right to steal. Unless a couple of guys and gals in suits get together and decide how much of somebody's wealth they're going to take. And if the Democrats get their way, some of those people, ooh, we're really going to go in and take a lot of money from them. And the Democratic people who normally would sit down and say it's not right to take things from other people, it's not right to steal, will look at that and go, yeah, let's get their stuff. It's the sellout of what I think are American principles, or just part of being a good human being. Probably around the world, people know it's not right to kill, not like right to steal, not right to lie. And around the world, and particularly in the United States, in this hyper-politicized world, politicians convince us that when the government does it, it's okay. If we get together, a handful of us, and we pass a law, we write some words on a page that say we're going to steal this, then that's not really stealing because we've decided to do it, and we say, oh, okay. And that's, again, I'm an idealist. I just wonder if there's a way to get through to people that we actually change these things. You don't have to hate somebody because they disagree with you. You don't have to steal somebody's stuff because you want something or you think there's other people that are more deserving of it. That's not your role to decide. And you don't have to kill a bunch of people around the world to show some level of leadership. Anyway, I've got some interesting math I did. I'll get out of the intellectual, the emotional side of things and get into some cold hard math. I did some interesting research this weekend. Stay with me. We're going to take a look at GDP.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. You know, part of radio is when you want people to stick around, you tease. You know, you tease the stories that are coming up. Not just radio, television, everything. You know, cliffhangers in Netflix series. You want them to watch the next show. You leave them with a little cliffhanger. I told you I was going to talk about GDP. I don't know. That's the best cliffhanger. I don't know. That's the best teaser. I find it interesting, but I don't know how many people are listening, going, "Ooh, he's about to talk about GDP." But it's interesting. Bear with me. If you stuck around somehow, maybe you're just too lazy to change the channel. This show is stories behind the stories. It's truth behind the headlines. The coronavirus, the stock market was down 600 points on Friday, and this was stoked by these coronavirus fears. This is going to have an economic impact, and a lot of people I know were cheering to watch the Chinese economy just implode. They had something like 3,247 stocks crashed so hard that they had to stop trading on them. They have banned short selling, and short selling, for those who don't know, it's a mechanism to actually make the stock market go down, or it's a mechanism to bet that the stock market is going down. They banned it in China. They announced $178 billion they're going to flip. I mean, they are in big trouble, and there's people out there celebrating. I tell you, be careful what you wish for. We are tied to the Chinese. China trade deal or no, phase one or no. If China's economy collapses, we are going to all around the world face repercussions of it. But our markets were down 600 points, and then suddenly, today, they look like they're up about 300 points. This is odd. I suspect some level of, if you've ever heard of the plunge protection team, they may be in there. But the U.S. economy is a bubble in search of a pin. Now, I don't know if coronavirus is going to be that pin or not, but it's starting to look a little suspect. And again, I'm going to warn you of this probably as many times as I can, because when we see a problem happen in the U.S. economy, people are going to say, oh, everything was booming. And then that coronavirus took the wind out of it. I can't believe, who could have seen this coming? And I've got to tell you, man, failed government and Federal Reserve policy will be responsible for the next crisis. I don't know what tips it over the edge and finally exposes it as the fraud it is right now. 99% of Americans will not realize they've been fooled, and the Federal Reserve and the government will get away with what they have done to the U.S. economy. And I'm going to come back in just a second. I'm going to show you the trend. This is the story behind the story. And this is not to denigrate Donald Trump. This is just reality. I don't care who the president is. That's the difference on this show. I'm going to show you the trend that has been here in the United States, and the tricks that they've used to try to convince us that all is well. I did some math. I actually did a little bit of research. It took me about 30 minutes, I'll say. 20 minutes maybe. But it's the 20 minutes of work that nobody else will do. And so I'll present it to you after this break. I'm just going to show you this trend just for you to start kind of figuring out, huh? Because when things, whether it's the Hunan virus, the Kung flu as they're calling it or not, This is decades and decades in the making, and I'll be damned if I'm going to let politicians and the Federal Reserve get away with what they've done to the U.S. economy and blame it on
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
GDP came out last week. I talked about it some then. For 2019, U.S. GDP came in at 2.1%, I believe, for the entire year. And when Trump campaigned, he was talking about 4%, 5%, 6% GDP. I believed he would definitely be a net positive for the economy, certainly better than Hillary Clinton. But I rolled my eyes a little bit with 4%, 5%, and 6%. While most people lapped it up and saw tax cuts and all this other stuff. See, I'm a student of history, and I actually really look at the behind the scenes, because I don't care. Like, I don't need to take what I know, the facts that I've already assimilated, and then adjust them or ignore them for any politician. Not to denigrate Trump. I wouldn't do it for Obama or Bush or Clinton. I wouldn't do it for anybody. Facts are stubborn things, as they say. I'm going to show you real quick. I did a little bit of math this weekend to show you what's been happening to this country over the past 70 years and why I was a little suspicious of the idea of 4, 5, 6% GDP. Of course, I have a theme song for this one. I actually go in and do the math no one else will do.
When a ball bounces off of a wall, when you cook from a recipe book, when you know how much money you owe, that's mathematics.
So I'm not going to sit idly by and allow politicians who are responsible for the decline in the American way of life, for the Federal Reserve, who is behind the scenes destroying the underpinnings of a sound economy. I'm not going to let them get away with saying, oh, this virus, China, it's all their fault. We were booming. What I did was I went in and I calculated the average GDP growth, annual GDP growth, during the decades leading up to now. And listen to this trend. In the 1950s, the annual average GDP growth, and GDP, for anybody who doesn't know, is gross domestic product. This is the economic activity, the growth in the U.S. economy. In the 1950s, the average annual growth was 4.2%, and that is with 2 years in the 1950s that we were in negative growth or in recessions. The average growth was 4.2%. In the 1960s, no years of negative growth, and each year the economy grew by an average of 4.53%. Now, that's healthy growth for the U.S. economy. Got to the 70s, and the average annual growth was 3.4%. 3.42, to be exactly. And there were 2 years in the 1970s where we were in recession. Towards the end of the 70s, you know, we had oil price shocks, we had Watergate, all this stuff. But there were 2 years in recession in all of the 1970s, average growth rates of 3.42%. So we're down about 1% in GDP from the 50s and 60s to the 70s and the 80s. In the 1980s, even with interest rates, if you remember in the early 80s, interest rates popped up to 15, 16, 17%. The average annual growth of the U.S. economy was 3.49%. In the 1990s, got a little bit lower. We had 1 year in recession, you know, 90, 91. This is when I was coming out of school and the economy was not doing great. A lot of problems with people graduating college around 89, 90, trying to find jobs. I do remember this very specifically. But in the 1990s, the average annual growth of the U.S. economy was 3.23%. In the 2000s, with two recessions, you know, the recession in 2000, 2001, 2007, 2008, or 2008, 2009, in the 2000s, the annual GDP growth rate, the annual growth of the U.S. economy was 1.92%, with those two recessions also in it. Now, the last 10 years, in the 2010s, the average growth of the U.S. economy was 2.28%. And there were no recessions, theoretically, for the official numbers that they give us. I could argue with these, but I'll just say it. So if you understand what I'm saying, look at what's been happening, because, again, they're going to point to this coronavirus or whatever tips us over some kind of a financial precipice into some kind of a recession or depression. I believe it's going to get worse because, you know, the debt is just monumental. We can't afford things to not go perfectly, because we've built this house of cards on debt. So in the 1950s and 60s, we were at about 4.5%. Now we're down to 2%, 2.25%, and it's worse than that, actually. In the 2010s, the Federal Reserve was doing emergency measures. They were printing off trillions of new dollars flooding into the system. They were going out and buying bonds. These are things they had never done before. They kept interest rates at zero for basically 10 years. Almost zero for 10 years. These were all emergency measures. And during this time, the government was spending over $1 trillion a year in many of these years, certainly in the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of new debt. And when they add on this debt, that goes into GDP. So during the 20 teens, when we're only getting about 2.25 as average growth, this is while the Federal Reserve is throwing money at the economy. They're keeping interest rates at record lows. And when I say record lows, I mean historically all-time planet Earth record lows. This is a warning sign. Growth in the American economy has been trending down. Now, you can say, well, we're a maturing society, and there's something to be said for that. You do grow more when you're ascending. But this idea that we currently live in the greatest economy that the world has ever seen is absurd. This also does not allow for the fact that in 1983, they changed the way that housing prices added to things like inflation. And inflation matters in GDP because the way GDP is calculated, basically they say, okay, well, we've got 7% growth, but inflation was running at 2%, so you subtract the 2% and you get 5% growth, just to make the math easy. But if inflation was really running in the real world at 4%, and they just tell you it was 2%, then that 7% becomes 3%. Does that make sense? Doing math on air is a little tedious. In the 1990s, they changed things like hedonics. They started valuing things differently. If you got some more features from them, even though they got more expensive, they said, well, it didn't really get that much more expensive because your dishwasher can talk to you now. So even though it's $200 more than it was 5 years ago, the value of your dishwasher talking to you is more than worth $200, so we're just going to leave the price the same. If they measured GDP and inflation and things like that, the way they measured it back in the 70s and into the 80s, the numbers that I just reported to you on these GDPs would be even worse than I told you. For the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and the 2010s, they would be worse than the decline we've seen. But what they did was, see, they are smart. They're crafty. They're sly at the federal level and at the banking level. When they see a trend they don't like that knows that they might upset the American people, they start monkeying with the calculations to make sure that the numbers stay somewhere to keep you pacified. Even this 2.1% that we saw last year, if the exact same economic activity had taken place in the 1970s, the early 1980s, before they started making these changes, we probably would have been in a recession last year, based on those old calculations, or it certainly would have probably been maybe a 1% GDP instead of a 2.1%. They've been trying to hide this with mathematics and calculations to trick the American people into believing that things are better than they actually are. Now, Trump is a positive on the economy, and things are slightly better than they've been since the Great Recession. That is true. And maybe some jobs have been created. I don't doubt that, but I just can't independently quantify how many have been created and how many have left. I mean, I don't know. But I do know the trend of this, and the trend of this lays, it should be laid at the feet of the government and of the Federal Reserve and all of the people that have been in charge of this thing for so long. Don't let them trick you. Don't let them fool you into leaving them alone and leaving them blameless when the wheels come off this cart. Because I'm afraid this coronavirus, if the Chinese economy crashes, we are going to have some problems here. And as I say, not on my watch, because this is how socialism creeps in. Essentially, they've been slow boiling the American people and fooling you with a bunch of statistics and changing the way things are calculated, but people still feel it in themselves. A whole bunch of people have been left behind, and these are the people that may turn us socialist because they can see all these numbers, they can hear greatest economy in the history of the world, but they're not feeling it, and they're going to reach out for something else, and that might be socialism.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me here. It's a weird time for me to be a radio show host. We're going to talk about the Democrats now. The Democrats are having some level of a civil war within their party right now. It's going to be rather entertaining to see how it plays out. The Republicans had a similar civil war in 2016. Donald Trump kind of steamrolled what everybody assumed was the Republican Party. Marco Rubio's, Lindsey Graham's, Jeb Bush's, that was the Republican Party until Donald Trump came through and just ran right over all of them. And now this is no longer just the Republican Party. This is Trump's party now. People are looking at, and I think particularly Republicans are looking at this move towards socialism and Bernie Sanders, the civil war in the Democratic Party being between the Hillary, the corporatist establishment Democratic Party, and the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren progressive wing, Bernie Sanders openly admitting to being a, air quotes here in the studio, Democratic socialist. And that's the war that they're going to have right now that's going to play out in front of us. It's going to be quite interesting to see. A lot of people, particularly on the right and conservatives, say, where did this socialism come from? How could they dare? See, I know where it comes from. I understand why people are opting for socialism. And it's because of the segment I just read to you where GDP and the American way of life has been changing over decades. And it is finally reaching some level of a point where students, the youngest people, saddled with trillions of dollars of student loan debt. The American people have been struggling to try to maintain their quality of life in this declining economy here. Now, I'll tell all you socialists and Democrats out there, you want to improve the lives of a bunch of people that have been left behind? Shrink the government, get rid of individual income tax, let people spend their money where they want to, and you would see an economy just explode higher. Give people their real freedom back. But you don't like that. You don't trust that. You think that politicians need to grab the money from a bunch of people and then dole it out. You feel better with that. And God love you. I understand. You're hurting, or you know people who are hurting, or you want to see poor people fed. Me too. Me too. But how's that way that you've been using going for you so far? You think that Bernie Sanders, if we just get a little bit more control at the socialist level and Bernie Sanders comes in and he starts working the levers, surely then we'll get better results. Real quick on the impeachment stuff, I guess this is, can we finally, hopefully after Wednesday, quit talking about this? Trump is scheduled to be acquitted on Wednesday. Acquitted for what? He didn't do anything. This is just, I'm going to be so glad. I was so worried that they might actually stumble into witnesses. Well, no, actually I wasn't. You know why they don't have witnesses, right? Because I told you they weren't going to have any witnesses. And why aren't they going to have any witnesses? Anyone? Anyone? Because the last thing they want to do is have any kind of public display of the cash grab that went on in Ukraine. Neither side of the aisle, looking at you, Lindsey Graham, wants anybody to come out and blow the whistle publicly on exactly what was going on in Ukraine. And I discussed this, I think, a little bit last week. Let me just tell you how this worked real briefly. The insiders in our government overthrow another country like Ukraine. And then the insiders in our society on both sides of the aisle handpick the corrupt people that get placed inside the new government. And then both sides of the aisle, the elites here in this country, get their beaks nice and wet in that new government. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. You get to pay for all this stuff, right? Any operation, any aid that went to Ukraine, any funding of the protest that went on in Ukraine through things like USAID, which is a CIA front for so-called, air quotes here in the studio, humanitarian aid. You get to pay for it all, but the elites up in D.C. get to wet their beaks in it, and they all get rich. That's why there weren't any witnesses. And I love the drama from last week where they, is this person going to vote this way? Or is this person going to vote this way? It's so close. It's too close to call. Do you know what goes on in these kinds of votes? It's like Obamacare. Let me tell you the dirty little secret of how Obamacare became law, because I know a lot of Republicans think, oh, Republicans didn't get to vote for it at all. Look, the Republicans were in the minority. The Republicans take a ton of money for the health insurers who benefited from the Obamacare bill, but the health insurers just said, oh, don't worry about it. You can vote no. It's okay. Now, if it had been close and they had needed some Republican votes, they would have gotten it for Obamacare. They didn't need it. So the health insurers said, you can pretend to be against Obamacare and against our profits. We're going to keep funding you. Go ahead and vote no. We got enough to vote yes. We don't need you. And the witnesses was the same thing. What was going on behind the scenes was, okay, well, look, we've got room to let you two can go tell your constituents you are going to vote for impeachment because this person's not going to, so we won't have, I mean, you're going to vote for witnesses. We've got enough to vote no on witnesses, so go ahead and do your thing. It doesn't really matter. These things are done behind the scenes to get the desired result. It's always couched in this existential battle between Republicans and Democrats based on ideology. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's horse trading behind the scenes. None of them wanted witnesses. I told you this last week, and that's exactly what came of it. I did run across, before I get into this Democratic Civil War and the Michael Moore ad clip, which is just priceless, rumor has it. I found this hard to believe at first. Let me put it this way. Rumor has it that Hillary Clinton is on the short list of just about everybody on the Democratic side, except for Bernie, because she's still trying to sink his nomination. And look, you might hear me talk about how they're screwing Bernie. Don't get this idea. I have to say these things because we live in such a black and white thing, a black and white world where if I show the corruption that is going to unseat Bernie Sanders, some people will go, he's a Bernie Sanders supporter? Oh, absolutely not. Bernie Sanders is a disaster, an absolute unmitigated disaster of a political human being. But it is interesting to watch another kind of populist group of Democrats be shown the door. And Bernie Sanders was screwed out of the nomination last time, too, wasn't he? And what did he do? He laid down. He rolled over like a well-behaved dog. Got his belly rubbed. I think he got a lake house or something, didn't he? And he's surprised they're coming after him again. There's a level of stupidity within Bernie Sanders' camp that is hard to even imagine. What, did he think that the DNC had changed their mind on him? Anyway, outside of Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton is on the short list of everybody as, are you ready for this? Vice President. I hadn't considered this. I've been doing my segment called Witch Watch, where I listened and took little clips of Hillary Clinton, things we've been hearing from her over the past 3, 4, 5 months that sounded to me like she wasn't ruling out a run. And I know how the country loves a rematch. See, everything is show, it's show business. As they say, Washington, D.C. is just Hollywood for ugly people. But I hadn't considered vice president. And when I first read that, my first thought, and I think deeper than just my first thought was, no way. No way in the world would Hillary Clinton play second fiddle to anybody. She would find it so demeaning to be the vice president to a Joe Biden, a Pete who, Elizabeth Warren. There's just no way she would accept that. And then, of course, my second and most immediate thought was, oh, of course, vice president is perfect for Hillary Clinton because she can just kill the guy in front of her and become the first woman president. It may be her best and only chance. So vice president makes perfect sense. All you've got to do is add the president of the United States to the Clinton body count, and she's in.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
right. Iowa is the opening salvo tonight. And I am so uninterested in the Democratic field is terrible and really uninterested in any of them. But I find the fact that the party may fall apart. I think there's a lot of Republicans out there that are just absolutely sure that Donald Trump's going to win. I got to tell you, I'm not in that camp. If you end up seeing a financial problem, if the economy takes some kind of a swoon or a dive, here's the thing is I know enough about the economy to know anything. If we had anything really, you know, we tip into a recession, it's not going to be a bright and breezy recession. You can't have it with this debt. And election time's a long way away. The thing about Bernie Sanders that's so confusing, it's, boy, he's hated by all the right people. It's kind of like Donald Trump. When I saw that Jeb Bush couldn't stand Donald Trump, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm with Trump. When I saw Marco Rubio fighting with Trump, I was like, ooh, I'm with Trump. When I saw Lindsey Graham saying terrible things about Donald Trump, I thought, wow, this Trump guy must be the real deal. You kind of feel that same way. If Bernie Sanders wasn't such a disgusting socialist, you would kind of appreciate the fact that Obama's coming out against him, Hillary Clinton's coming out against him. It kind of makes you think that maybe Bernie's on to something. At least he's not one of them that have been looting the system for forever. Unfortunately, he's actually worse. But here's an ad that is running in Iowa right now. And this is how they get you, Democrats. See, I want to talk to everybody. I'm here to heal. I'm trying to tell Republicans you shouldn't hate your liberal neighbor. Talk to them. They're not your problem. They're not the ones stealing your money. The Republicans are responsible for taking a quarter of your paycheck. Your liberal neighbor's not taking anything from you. Just have a conversation with them. Try to convince them that free markets is the way to go and the government's not efficient at anything. Win them over. But instead, you hate them while voting for people that snatch a bunch of your paycheck, that commit our kids halfway around the world to wars that they shouldn't be fighting. I mean, it's strange to me, but anyway. Here's how what they're going to do to you, Democrats, because I'm trying to wake up Democrats, too. I really wish I could do a show on a left-wing network, because I would do the same thing to their party that I do to the Republican Party, which is expose it. Here's what they're going to sell you, Democrats. They're going to tell you, oh, yeah, we love Bernie Sanders, but he can't win. He's got some great ideas, don't get us wrong, but we just don't think he stacks up well against Donald Trump. And that's exactly what they do in this ad, trying to get the Bernie Sanders. Essentially, the Democratic Party views Bernie Sanders voters and progressive voters as the same way that they view Republican gun owners, as bitter clingers. They just, oh, you've got to let go of those progressive ideas. Now, they may not win. I mean, the mainstream Democratic Party may be right. I hope they are. I don't want to see a socialist as president of the United States. But it's funny. Anyway, Democrats, here's what's coming at you for the Bernie Sanders.
The most important thing is we have to beat Trump.
We've seen the damage that Trump and the Republican Congress have done.
I doubt if Bernie Sanders can beat Trump.
I like Bernie. I think he has great ideas. But Michigan, Pennsylvania, Iowa, they're just not going to vote for a socialist.
I do have some concerns about Bernie Sanders' health, considering the fact that he did have a heart attack.
I think it's very important that the Democrats nominate somebody that can beat Trump.
I don't feel as though Bernie Sanders would do well against Donald Trump.
I just don't think Bernie can beat Trump.
DMFI PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Yep, the knives are out for Bernie Sanders, man. They hit him on his electability, they hit him on his age, and they hit him on his heart attack, too. They're coming after him. Now, here is the money clip here. This was just fantastic. Michael Bloomberg apparently is going to be, the Democrats have done their little corrupt thing that they always do. Again, I'm going to tell you, though, I always do this. This is like an equal time on this one radio show. The Republican Party did the same thing to Ron Paul. I was involved. I saw this happen. The Republican Party was doing all kinds of things in the caucuses, locking people out of the rooms, because Ron Paul was very popular, but he was the outsider. And the Republican Party crushed the Ron Paul campaign in 2008 and again in 2012. Marginalized him, told you kind of the same things that the Democrats just told you about Bernie Sanders. Yeah, we like Ron Paul. He's got some good ideas, but he just can't win. He's not electable. That's what they told you when he ran against McCain and Romney. What do you think about McCain and Romney now? Not big fans? Probably not. Not many people are anymore. Well, you had a chance with Ron Paul, the Republican Party, like they do with any outsider that's not willing to play the establishment Republican game. They just crushed him. They crushed him. And Ron Paul certainly does not have the Trump factor of going in there like a bull in a china shop, which is, I guess, what it took to break through the Republican machine. Anyway, so the Democrats are doing their little corrupt thing where they change rules and they're going to do whatever they can to keep Bernie Sanders away from the Democratic nomination. It's going to be fascinating because it seems like the voters on the Democratic side, and I really wish I could reach them. Bernie Sanders is not going to fix your problems. He's just going to make them worse, but knock yourselves out. Bernie Sanders is surging in the polls, so they're kind of freaking out. So the Democrats do their little corrupt thing. They go in, they change the rules. They're letting Bloomberg in, even though he hasn't done all the qualifications that are needed for debate performance. Here's Michael Moore's reaction to it, and you just got to love. Now, I want you to remember one thing, too, as you listen to this clip. Why does Michael Moore get to speak at Democrat conventions or confabs? Why is Michael Moore a spokesman for the Democratic Party? Why does Michael Moore get his quotes into newspapers and has become somewhat of a political pundit? Well, the reason is not because Michael Moore is smarter than everybody else. This may be an objective statement, but I don't think he's more handsome than anybody else. He's kind of an objectionably looking human being. Michael Moore is included in all these things because he's a rich, successful Hollywood elite, which just makes what he talks about here a little hypocritical. But the reason I play this is because this is the war that's brewing in the Democratic Party as they go through their primary season, which will be fun to watch.
They are removing the rule to be on the debate stage where it says you have to have so many people donating to you. You know, otherwise, instead of 27 people on the stage, there'd be 227 people on the stage. So you had to have a certain number of Americans that would give you a buck. That's all the rule said. Certain, but it would to show that there's support. And that's how they determined who would be on that debate stage. Today, they removed that rule because Mike Bloomberg, the billionaire, the Republican mayor of New York City, they removed it so that he could be in the next debate. He doesn't have to show he has any support amongst the American people. He can just buy his way onto the debate stage. And I got to tell you what's so disgusting about this. I watched the debate in Iowa here 2 weeks ago. The all-white debate.
No.
And the fact that the DNC, will not allow Cory Booker on that stage, will not allow Julian Castro on that stage, but they're going to allow Mike Bloomberg on the stage because he's got $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to let Bloomberg on the stage because he's got $1 billion. It's so funny. What, is he surprised at this? Again, as I say, Michael Moore wouldn't be allowed to be behind that microphone. Michael Moore wouldn't be invited to this. I mean, rank-and-file Democrats just walking down the road. No one comes up and says, hey, you want a speaking part at one of our campaign rallies? I see you're wearing a Bernie Sanders T-shirt. We sure would love for you to come up on stage and say a few things. No, they don't want the average Bernie Sanders fan to be making any comments. They go to the rich Hollywood elite. So Michael Moore is getting the exact same treatment Bloomberg's getting. This whole game is just for the elites. The Democratic Party has been kind of a playground for the Hollywood elites for years and years. Their voices are heard. The average Democrat suffers under Democratic policies. Look at the big cities run by Democrats. There's actually a very good article. Maybe I'll try to find it during one of the breaks. I should have gone and clipped it because it just breaks it down to exactly why Democrat-run cities are so bad. It's like a four-point reason. It's so easy. As a matter of fact, I didn't click through on the article. I think this might have been on Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge, which has now been permanently deleted from Twitter because Zero Hedge is an alternative media source that doesn't play the game anyway. More censorship. Zero Hedge is off of Twitter permanently now for reporting on the Wuhan, the Kung Flu. But there was just a little blurb, and it just said something, you know, why are Democrat-run cities in such a mess or whatever? And then there was a three- or four-sentence little blurb on it, you know, just a teaser for the article. It gives you just a few bullet, you know, a few quotes from the article. And I could see the whole story right there. It's like three or four sentences that explained exactly why Democrat-run cities are bad. But the Hollywood elites have been running the Democratic Party for so long, I guess they just don't want to share the limelight with the Wall Street elites like Bloomberg. You know, this is going to be interesting to see who survives this. And then what happens when If there's a Bernie Sanders presidency, well, I'm going to explore this a little bit on the other side of this break. I'm going to take a quick break. There's a lot to think through here. I believe that Trump supporters are a little too cocky about his reelection because I think we underestimate, and as I've gone through today, this shrinking GDP over several decades, it's the reason that people are crying out for government services now, why they are crying out for student loan forgiveness, why they are crying out for free health care. Look, I'm a libertarian. All those are terrible ideas, but at least I can understand why they're doing it. People are hurting, and if you've got a candidate promising a bunch of free stuff, I got to tell you, I don't know if Trump's as secure as you think he is. Now, if you look at the ideas by the Democrats, you and I know, most thinking people know, they're terrible ideas. They are absolute disaster ideas. The problem is, never underestimate the stupidity of the American people.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we're back. Mike Madison Show here. WIAB 103.9. There's a poll out. See, I don't know. I've talked to a lot of Trump supporters, and it's this seems, I've said, the only person that can beat Donald Trump is Donald Trump. I stick by that. But I hear a lot of people that are really sure that Trump is going to win re-election, and I think you're discounting. It's easy to look at the Democratic field and realize how terrible they are, right? But how many of us have voted for terrible candidates? And we didn't know it at the time, right? I mean, there's a lot of Republicans out there that are not in favor anymore. I bet you voted for John McCain in 2008 for president, didn't you? And probably a lot of you enthusiastically. And then he kind of exposed himself. He's behind the Trump dossier. A lot of you in primaries have voted for Bush's. A lot of you might have been Jeb supporters at one point. Before Trump kind of announced and came down the elevator, you probably thought, well, you know, we could do it with another Bush. You know what I mean? Democrats are not any different. They can get horrible candidates, but buy into them now. I'm sure Democrats could have told you a long time ago that McCain's not a good guy, or they would have told you Lindsey Graham's no good, or Jeb Bush is no good, but we would have ignored them. It's the same. Democrats will think that they've got good candidates. And so it's easy to look from the right and say, there's no way Trump loses to any of these mental midgets, and I'm with you. I understand. They just look like a clown car of people. It's to the point where it feels to me like they're throwing the election, like there's some grand plan. I can't point to the conspiracy. I don't know what it is. I haven't even heard it explained anywhere. It's just like this. They've got to have somebody. Now, Tulsi Gabbard is a normal human being. She's got some bad ideas. I'd love to sit down with her and talk to her about some of her bad ideas. But she's normal, you know, and her foreign policy is fantastic. And she's suing Hillary Clinton, so there's a lot to like there. I got to tell you, if Bernie Sanders comes out of this primary season on top, and the Democrats just are not able to get away with crushing him, because, you know, you can do it to somebody once. It's more difficult to do it to him twice. It really is. Michael Moore sees it happening right now. All Bernie Sanders fans are seeing it right now. If Bernie Sanders has a Bernie and Tulsi ticket, I got to tell you, they're going to promise a lot of free stuff. Tulsi Gabbard is one of the more normal people. She kind of balances his craziness. I'm not for this. I would not vote for that. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's, he's talking good about Bernie Sanders. No, I'm just talking. As I look out over the landscape as an observer, where I don't have an allegiance anywhere. Nobody is owed my vote. Nobody's done anything where they're like, oh, they've done so much for me. I mean, I'm beholden to them. That hasn't happened ever in my lifetime. I used to think it did, but it doesn't. And if Hillary gets on a ticket with Biden, is there a possibility that the Bernie Sanders people will come back over to them again? See, Hillary Clinton is almost as hated in some of the Democratic Party as she is hated in the Republican Party. Well, that's a generalization. Hillary Clinton's not really hated by the Republican Party, but because she's a game player, and a lot of the establishment Republicans are just comfortable with another game player. They'll tell you things like, we're against Hillary Clinton, she's a Democrat, blah, blah, but they won't ever point out her crimes. You know, I talk about this a lot. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and this is kind of what spurred this way of thinking anyway, kind of examining what's going on. This guy's absolutely sure Donald Trump will be reelected. And I mean, I certainly think it's his to lose. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking it down. I'm not saying there's no way he can. I'm just saying I think it's more nuanced than this. I think the student loan issue is huge in this race. Nobody's talking about it except for me. And so it's just kind of in my back pocket just going, look, you go in front of the American people that are suffering at the hands of this declining American economy over the last 60 years. Not Trump's fault at all in any way, shape, or form. I'm not blaming him. It's just he came in late. I just read off to you 70 years of American GDP, and you saw it go down every 20 years or so. It goes down another point. And they're doing emergency things to hold this up with debt and borrowing and Federal Reserve printing money. It's sputtering. And so there are people out there hurting. And when you flash free health care in front of somebody who's struggling in their family to pay their $650 a month health insurance bill, and they've got a $5,000 deductible. I think my last deductible was $7,500. Meaning you pay every month, and then you got to pay another $7,500 before you get a nickel of anything from your health insurance. You flash free health care in front of those people. I don't care if they've got a Trump flag in front of their house, if they have been lifelong Republicans. If they think that that voting for a socialist in the privacy of a voting booth is going to save them $600 a month on their health insurance premium, that's as far as they think. If they're a recent graduate and they've got $64,000 in student loans, that's what they think about. They think Bernie Sanders is going to wipe this out. Elizabeth Warren's going to wipe this out. That's what they think about. They're single-issue voters at that point. Now, they won't go to a cocktail party with their country club friends. Well, a country club, they won't go to a college football game in the South with all of their Republican friends and start talking up Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. No, they will keep it on the down low, as they say. I think giving away free stuff is powerful in a country that is declining economically. The numbers we are being shown, Donald Trump was so right. And what did Donald Trump say during the 2016 election? He said, these economic numbers reported under Barack Obama are all lies. Unemployment rate is cooked, he said. It's probably in the 20 to 25. I think Trump even went up to like 40%. Donald Trump campaigned on the fact that all the economic numbers, and here's almost a direct quote, I'm paraphrasing very slightly, but he said basically this. He said, all the economic numbers you hear are all cooked up just to make politicians look good. And he was dead on. And that's when I pumped my hand in the air and said, hell yes, about time somebody on the national stage said it. I'm voting for that guy. And I voted for Donald Trump because he said that. Now he says they're all legit numbers. Nothing's changed in the calculations. They're still calculated the same way. I'm smart enough to know. No, they're still cooked numbers. And if they're still cooked numbers, that means there's a vast swath of people in this country still hurting, still losing ground on the American dream. And you and I can tell them right now, look, part of the reason that your health insurance premiums are so damn high is because of Obamacare. But they're not going to listen to that. And you and I don't have time to get to all of them and tell them that. They're going to watch the mainstream media, and they're going to watch one of these Democrats come out and tell them that they're going to do something for their health care. Look, Republicans fall for this too. It's a majority of Republicans right now. Last thing I saw was either 51 or 54% of Republicans would be for Medicare for all. Republicans want government-run health care. Is it because they're stupid Republicans? Not really. I mean, if they're Republicans, they've got some basic understanding of economies and those kinds of things. They're hurting. They're tired of paying $1,400 a month for almost worthless insurance for their family. They tried voting for Republicans who said they were going to repeal and replace Obamacare for six election cycles, or how many ever it's been. And that's two-year election cycles. You know, every time Congress or the House of Representatives, you got to re-vote, and the Senate, you know, they stagger their people to run. So for every 2 years, for six times, I think, the Republicans came out and said, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. Well, first they said they were going to repeal it, and then the health insurers tugged on their sleeves and said, hey, yeah, but you're gonna still put in our plan. We're still going to make money, right? And they went, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll put something together that still makes y'all fabulously wealthy, but the American people will think it helps them. So the vast majority of Republicans, not vast majority, excuse me, I misstated, take that back, say I caught myself. I don't ever want to exaggerate on the show. The majority of Republicans, either 51 or 54%, that is a majority, it's over 50%, want Medicare for all. How many of those would be willing to vote for a Elizabeth Warren, a Bernie Sanders? If they thought it meant to their family, they would stop paying the $1,200. Now, their taxes are going to go up. Again, I understand that logically it doesn't make any sense. But people don't think that far down the road. They just hear free. Have you seen a Black Friday? If people think they can save $74 on a big screen TV, they will spend 20 hours in line to make it happen. We are not the most economically literate people at this point. If people will wait in line for 10 hours to save $100 off of some product at a Black Friday sale, meaning they just earned themselves a whopping $10 an hour, they could have gone out and done a whole host of different things to make $15 an hour, but that's lost on everybody. If people are willing to do that, they are willing to listen to a politician that says you're going to get free stuff. I'm telling you, this cakewalk to the next presidency for Donald Trump, I do not think is as simple as everybody thinks it is. It's why I've been kind of saying, I think Trump's style, he's not leaving a lot of room for people to cross the aisle and come to him and be able to go out to their friends. Trump's probably won some Democrats over. Look, some areas of the Midwest have probably gotten new jobs or factories have reopened. But Trump's style makes it where those people who might say in the dark of their bedrooms at night in their mind, they go, man, I kind of like Trump. I don't know why everybody hates him so bad. But they can't go to their friends and for a moment say, you know what, I think I might give Trump a chance. I'm going to vote to reelect him. I think things are going well. Hell no. He'll be descended on. That person will cannot. It's the same with the Republicans. You don't dare. I mean, I'm on air here. I told you I got to barricade myself in the studio here to say anything detrimental to Republicans. Because people don't want to hear it. Oh, that's our team. That's our tribe. Nobody will break out of this prison, this mental prison of these two parties. But I'm just telling you, the power of free, if our economy experiences the next 6 months is a pretty tough time, on top of what I've just shown you today during today's show, which is, and you can get it on podcast, themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I've shown you a 70-year steady decline where the American people are losing ground. And nowhere have they lost ground as rapidly, as recently, as healthcare and as college. More debt, higher premiums, higher deductibles. These are two ways the American people have gotten screwed harder than any other way. And when somebody comes out and says they're going to solve that, I got to tell you, a lot of people are going to vote their pocketbooks. It makes me very concerned. It's going to be a disaster. Trust me. I understand. It's not a good thing. I'm not cheering for it. But the power of free. Look, Trump's out there talking about pre-existing conditions, and crowds are cheering for this. But you understand economically, right, that forcing insurers to cover pre-existing conditions, and look, my sympathy goes with anybody who's got a pre-existing condition. I understand. But, you know, that's why we used to have things like charity hospitals. But the Democrats inserted, through Obamacare and debates around Obamacare, they inserted this idea that health insurers have to cover pre-existing conditions. And did the Republicans fight back on that and explain, well, look, we need to find some other way to handle pre-existing conditions, because if you just put them into every insurance plan, it's got to make everybody pay more. And that's not fair. I'd certainly rather pay a lower premium and voluntarily contribute to a charity that helps people with pre-existing conditions get treatment. That's what America is about, right? But now Trump is going to his campaign, his crowd's going crazy, and we promise we always will cover pre-existing conditions. Well, the economics of that are a disaster. You do realize that, right? Covering pre-existing conditions, and again, my sympathy with anybody who's got pre-existing conditions, I can sure that's a horrible thing with trying to shop for insurance. And I may be talking to the vast majority of people now. I mean, everybody's got diabetes. Everybody's got cancer. Go to my health show if you want to avoid those things. But anyway, the Republicans didn't stick to their guns and go, you can't force a private industry to sign an insurance contract with somebody that they know they're going to have to pay out millions of dollars in care for. I mean, that doesn't make it. That's like wrecking your car and then walking into a car insurance place and saying, see that pile of twisted metal out there? That's my car. I need some insurance for it. Car insurance guy's going to look at you and go, are you insane? When did you wreck the car? Just now. You don't have any insurance? Nope. But I need it now because I need to get this car repaired. I need to get it replaced. Look, it's totaled. Why don't we cover pre-existing automobile accidents, if that's the case? I mean, you can see the fallacy in this, but again, we don't think about these things. So even Republicans now cheer for this idea of pre-existing conditions. And again, I understand it's an emotional issue, but there's a better way to do it than to charge everybody more, because now you have to cover somebody that a health insurer looks at and says, holy cow, we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on this person. Their medications alone are $10,000 a month. We're going to have to jack up everybody's premiums to bring this person on. There was a reason that pre-existing conditions were excluded before. And I'm not carrying water for the health insurance industry either. But they, if it's a private business, they should be able to say, hey, we take pre-existing conditions. Okay, great. Knock yourself out. Maybe you can make it work. But see, the Republicans are pandering with pre-existing conditions the same way that the Democrats are pandering with free college and free health care and free everything else. Free is attractive to people. The Republicans know better in saying pre-existing conditions need to be. They're smart enough economically to know that that's a disaster, that everybody's premiums have to go through the roof. Even if you're healthy and haven't seen a doctor in 10 years and you take care of yourself and you take responsibility for your health and everything's going swimmingly, your insurance premiums have got to be so much higher so that people with pre-existing conditions can come into your health insurance company. And the Republicans know this. Did they stick to their guns and explain the free market principles on what a disaster this will be for the entire health insurance industry to force people to take people with Britain? No, they didn't make that argument. They just jumped on the board with it. The Democrats started it. The Republicans realized they couldn't fight it, so they just came on board with that. Republicans are basically socialist light now. They are. Anyway. I'm telling you, don't take this Trump victory in 2020 for granted right now. The power of free will turn out Americans who are losing ground in this economy.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment here. Only got a couple of minutes left. I thought this was kind of interesting. You know, polls are, as I keep reporting here, polls are only good if you agree with the result, right? If you hear a poll that says your favorite politician's poll results are down, you say, polls are bogus. Remember, all the polls said Hillary's going to win. If you hear a poll that reports good news or good numbers for your favorite politician, you say, look what the polls are showing. So I assume this is probably, for most Trump supporters and Republicans, a good thing. And I believe it. The state of race relations since Trump got inaugurated is up by 14 points. That does not serve the race baiters very well. Maybe the race baiting and the trying to stoke hostility between the races has become so apparent that both blacks and whites are so sick of it that they're like, we can get along fine. The racial problems in this country are so manufactured. Doesn't mean there's some jerks on both sides, some racist whites, some racist blacks that are always going to cause some problems, but the race relations is just, I just keep talking about it. But again, that's a poll that's positive to Trump, so I'm sure we believe this one. Anyway, that's about all the time I've got today. I'm going to talk more about this. It's going to be an interesting political season. It's going to be a maddening one. It's going to be slightly comical as the left dukes it out and we watch a civil war on the left. Who wins, the progressives or the establishment? Either one is bad news if they take the White House in 2020. But it will be interesting to see. Can they dispatch with, I don't know, they got Bernie Sanders a beach house or a lake house last time they got him to lay down to Hillary Clinton in 2016. I got to tell you, he's like a contract. He's probably going to get a private jet and an oceanfront mansion next to the Obamas if he lays down for her again or for the establishment Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders, he's proven he is willing to sell out. That's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.